Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on this another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to this broadcast joining with you and our discussion, dialogue, and interest of the subjects being discussed. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number that gets your call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion. We're going to be talking about today the limits of government. The limits of government. Or as I have frankly taught this subject in a seminar session, God and government, or God versus government. What does the Bible say? What are the limits of government as we understand them today? We could take an entire day going through the scripture and using illustration after illustration after illustration. We're going to try to truncate that today so that we can get right to the poignant point of what we want to say in relationship to what we see taking place today in America as a result of the coronavirus, the pandemic, the panic, the hysteria, the fear that's permeated all of society, and along with that, the simple overreach, the unconstitutional overreach by those that are wanting to be little, how would you say, little Hitlers, as I would call it in society today, those that want to be dictators, those that have felt that somehow, some way, they're above the law themselves, and by fiat have been making decisions and executive orders issued that we the people are supposed to simply be the subjects to obey, to bow, to bend, and to simply cower into subjection to what they're saying and doing. If it sounds as though I am adamantly opposed to what we see happening, let me give you a straight answer. It is because I'm adamantly opposed to what is happening. I am adamantly opposed to sit back and watch having to sit back and watch what's happening in America with the crushing of our economy, the destruction of our Constitution, and the absolute panic and fear in the hearts and the lives of every citizen in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Word of God say? How should we respond? As Francis Schaeffer said back in the 60s, how should we then live? What ought to be our response to what we see taking place? Jesus was very, very clear in the communication with his disciples. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. That was his statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. It basically, if you put it in the Youngblood paraphrased vernacular, Jesus says, hey guys, one of the evidences that you're truly a disciple of mine is if you stay in my word, if you continue to study my word. And if you continue to study my word, you're going to know the truth. And as a result of knowing the truth's going to set you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It ought to be truth that we seek, ladies and gentlemen. It ought not to be based on panic and fear and that which is the popular position of the pundits and the politicians and the wannabe dictators. But what does the Word of God say? How should we respond as Christians? What ought to be the response for every Christian and every conservative in America today? Should we question what's happening? Should we challenge what's taking place? Or should we just sit back in silence? And as Attorney General Bill Barr said some weeks ago, just hide under the bed. I don't think that's what God would have us to do. I don't think that's what Christianity should point to as being our response. Oh, I know. There are a lot of folks out there, and perhaps you believe it, that as Christians we should simply obey every law that government passes and what they say. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not true, if I can be bold enough to say so. If any rule, regulation, guideline, or law in any way truncates, counters, undermines, contradicts the Word of God and what Christians ought to do, then we ought to obey God and not man. Peter said that very clearly in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. That doesn't mean there ought to be anarchy in America. That's not what I'm advocating at all, lest you weak-hearted hearers think that that's what I'm saying. That's not it at all. But we need to know the truth, to listen to the truth, etc. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. And that's what we see taking place today. If you were to stand up and say, I don't believe what is happening authenticates and authorizes what's been taking place in the sequestration and the quarantine of human beings in their own homes, of the shutting down of the businesses across America, of prosecution and persecution of Christians for preaching the gospel, I hope that you don't believe that that is something that Christians ought to just simply subject themselves to, because it is not. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made these statements. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's biblical, completely what God would have us to do. We need to be, as Christians, we need to be the watchman on the wall, realizing that we need to cry out and warn as much as possible. And then, according to my Bible, if we do that, the blood is not on our hands of those that have heard and refused to listen, but the blood's on our hands if we refuse to warn, if we refuse to cry out, if we refuse to be vocal and valiant and verbal as to what is taking place and how we should respond to it. I believe that God's going to hold us responsible as a result of not being obedient to what His Word calls for us to do in serving Him and honoring Him. I believe that it's time we as Christians come out of the closet, come out of the from under the bed, and be heard and be seen, speak the truth, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand equipment like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the complete line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda generators, with a knowledgeable staff to explain to you how to use them. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you need to perhaps you've asked that question. Where is 11291 Old St. Augustine Road? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic flag, U.S. flag flying. I believe the pole is about 165-foot pole. Find that gigantic flag flying at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have before me a huge volume. It is authored by Wayne Grudem, G-R-U-D-E-M. He's a theologian. Now, some of his biblical theology, some of where he stands and some issues, I'm adamantly opposed to and opposite sides of the spectrum from him. But he's produced a gigantic volume. It's been out now for a number of years, called Politics According to the Bible, subtitled A Comprehensive Resource of Understanding Modern Political Issues in the Light of Scripture. And he goes into great detail in one of the sections, Biblical Principles Concerning Government, and he talks about some of the details of how we should view government. During the course of this broadcast, I'm going to refer to that on a number of occasions to point to you some of the theological, biblical, doctrinal precepts and principles that I think we need to have as the underpinning of what we're saying and doing and how we should respond as Christians. So we're talking about today ladies and gentlemen, the limits of government, God and government. Ladies and gentlemen, today, in today's America, it's evident that government is involved in every aspect of human life. And now I'm going to just touch on a few of those areas, building up to where we want to go in the discussion today in relationship to God and government, the limits of government, and particularly dealing with government as relates to the coronavirus and the lockdown of America, the sequestration and the quarantine of Americans that I believe to be totally, if I can just be bold enough to say, totally, completely, unequivocally, unconstitutional, unenforceable, and unbiblical. We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast. And as some Christians will shrivel up and say, well, you know, God says we ought to obey government. Well, if government is carried out as in the scripture, as the scripture calls for, as governance, those that are governing, recognize and realize that all that is done in relationship to government, if that's carried out on the basis that they recognize that they are subservient to God and servants of God, and it's good men making good laws, that's a different story. But when you just simply by fiat issue executive orders, those are not laws. You've heard me say it before. A law is that process by our form of government, our republican form of government, a constitutional republic. And in that republican form of government with a representative form in place, then government, those that are elected as representatives and senators, they then debate law, they discuss it. We, the people, have input to challenge it, to go and challenge our representatives, our senators. And in doing so, the law is passed, and then it the bill is passed, then it becomes law. But, ladies and gentlemen, we've not seen a debate in any of the House and Senate in some of these fiat rules and regulations that we're now expected to live under and expected to obey. This is the reason I'm so thankful that Attorney General William Barr has jumped into the arena. And he started trying to manage some of the chaos and the confusion and the panic and the hysteria that's been brought about by the fiat dictatorship, tyrannical rules and regulations. But ladies and gentlemen, the point I want us to understand at the outset is that government is involved in just about every aspect of human life. Government dictates the size and the weight of automobiles that's manufactured. I don't know if you know that. Government dictates as to what is the gas mileage that an automobile needs to attain. Government is involved in the food that we can eat and cannot eat. Government's involved in the weights and the measures and the balances as to what goes into a package and how the packaging is designed, what the packaging should say, what it should read like, even to the point of telling you how many calories it has so that you will know whether you want to eat it or not. Some of these things may be good, but I'm just pointing out to you, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't think most of us have considered the a way that government permeates every aspect of life. Government controls the water that we drink, what kind of water, where we can get it, how it can be bottled if it is bottled, what is potable water and what is not, what you can drink, what you cannot. Some of these things may be good, but I want us to understand government's involved in every aspect of human life. Government's involved in the medical care that we can or cannot receive. Government makes the decision on what medicine can be given, even in a pandemic, as the coronavirus, the hydroxychloroquine that has been touted by our president because it's been found to be efficacious for pandemic, for the panic, for the coronavirus that we've been faced with, because he has touted it as good, then we ladies and gentlemen, we have governors and mayors that have foreclosed the responsibility and said that those cannot be used for treating the coronavirus patients. There's a problem with that when a government agency, a governmental person, a governmental individual, a mayor or a governor can say that you cannot take hydroxychloroquine because they say that it's not good for you, but they're not medical practitioners, and yet they're making that fiat decision as to what can be taken. The point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, by way of introduction of where we're going today, is simply put that government is involved in every aspect of the human life. Government's involved in what we say, what we do, what we drink, what we eat, and even to the point of where we can go and where we cannot go in today's society. Government controls our environmental system today, ladies and gentlemen. Government controls every aspect of business today. In fact, because government issues in every municipality, government issues a license to practice your profession or your business. Government can hold that over a business person or professional person's head, saying that if you don't do as I command, if you don't do as I say, it is something that we're just going to shut you down. That ought not to be the case at all. But ladies and gentlemen, the government's in control of every aspect of human life. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that each 12 months, every 12 months, government institutes by way of laws that are passed, government passes 250,000 new laws, new regulations, new rules, of which every citizen must be subjected to in the United States of America. 250,000 new laws every 12 months, and they never remove any of the old laws from the books.
That comes a far, far, far distance from the Ten Commandments and the two commandments Jesus gave. I tell you what, we've just absolutely grown exponentially.
Exponentially. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today one of our sons, Greg Youngblood. We're going to be, as Bill Barr calls it, jawboning. As he has said several times in the past several weeks, he's been jawboning with the state's attorney generals across America to get them to see the dangers of what is being done and some of the things that's being instituted by way of rules and regulations. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Jeff.
Yes, Jeff.
How you doing? I have a couple of questions. That one's for Greg and one's for you. We'll start with Greg. Going back to what you were talking about yesterday, freedom leads to abundance. Abundance leads to apathy. Apathy leads to bondage. Back, was it 1939, 1940, something like that? The federal government pretty much switched this over to wartime powers and took a lot of the powers away from the states that the states should have. And they have never, ever given those powers up. I've also known that we've been operating under what we call maritime law for quite some time because some legal reasons in Washington, D.C. I was wondering if you could clear that up for me. And, you know, it's like you said, we're never going to get those back unless we, you know, we shed blood to get those powers back. The second question is for Dr. Youngblood, and it's more on the biblical side of things. When Daniel was faced with the issue of, you know, eat this unclean meat, do an act of worship to the king, he didn't waver once. His faith was in God. He had no faith in the government, and God didn't destroy the government. What God was looking for is your faith in the Lord in the face of all of this. The same with Jesus. When he came here, a lot of the Jews were really upset because he didn't destroy the Pharisees, and he obviously didn't save them from the Roman Empire, and they were under bondage of the Roman Empire. What it all is about in the Bible is faith, 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 not faith in the government. You shouldn't have faith in the government. You should put all your faith in the Lord, and that's what I think, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's.
Let me interject before you go. On the maritime law component, I am not the maritime law expert. You'd need to call Rod Sullivan. He is a Jacksonville attorney and law professor. He is an expert, absolute expert in maritime law. So I'd advise that. I have spent some time on turning points in U.S. history, and there have been a few turning points. The most major turning point when it comes to governance and a trampling upon the 10th Amendment, which restricts the federal government, does not allow them to do anything outside of that which is articulated within the Constitution, and reserves all other rights to the states and to the people. But we kind of shifted gears in 1913. President Wilson, and Glenn Beck would say, I hate that guy. President Wilson, he was the kind of your first uber radical leftist liberal in the 20th century. He shifted things, pushed things, and of course there was the ratification of the 16th and the 17th Amendment during his time in office, particularly in 1913. And the 16th and 17th Amendment both allowed the direct taxation of the people from the federal government. You know, prior to that point, the federal government operated mostly on import-export duties, excise tax, things that did not deal with your income. They couldn't reach into the states, into the people's pockets, and fund themselves until that 16th Amendment, 17th Amendment allowed the direct election of the Senate by popular vote of the people, which absolutely severed the check on the federal government, where the state houses could send a senator to D.C. And clearly that person was obliged to make sure that they kept the state houses, the state legislatures happy and did not trample on their toes. So the states had protections. The state had a check on the federal government. When that check went away, we literally took a turn away from a republic model and toward a democracy model. And that Alexander Tytler quote that you gave part of, dealing with the transition in government when you deal with a democracy, we do end up in a position of apathy. People begin to give up their rights, their liberties, because they don't know where they came from. So the structure of government shifting has absolutely caused chaos. Now, it's taken 100 years for us to come to this point where we're going, this is chaos, this is a mess. But you had other things taking place at the same time. You step back into time. John Dewey was the head of the National Education Association for a dozen years during that same space of time. And he was an avowed communist / socialist, and he injected socialist and communist ideals and goals into education in America. You fast forward 100 years, have we not seen fruit born from that? These kids today are literally learning from socialist and communist liberal leftist professors all day, every day. 87% of professors in state colleges, according to a recent survey, are liberals. They volunteer. They're liberals, they're leftists, they're Democrats. And when you get into the Ivy League, that number jumps over 90%. So the academic freedom has disappeared. We have a system dominated by leftists. You go to D.C., you're taking a bath in the swamp. You're taking a bath in leftism and liberalism and socialism and communism. That's what D.C. is made up of. So right now, as much as I'm ticked off with government, I think you're ticked off with government. People that understand freedom, they're really upset with government. I don't point my finger exclusively at Trump, because the swamp is still running the machine. I mean, my goodness.
Exactly.
I point out the fact the Department of Justice employees, 97% of Department of Justice employee contributions in the 2016 election went to Hillary Rodham Clinton. In the Department of State, 99% of contributions went to Hillary Rodham Clinton. If anybody doesn't believe in a deep state, they don't believe in the swamp, I'll tell you what, you haven't done any homework. But I do appreciate the fact that you're connecting the dots, and I pray that you continue to connect the dots and share with others the chaos that we're seeing, and I challenge Christians to stand up and speak up.
Yes, and Jeff, as you touched on with Daniel was not introducing a vegetable diet. That's many people go to that and say he was a vegetarian, and therefore he was introducing the vegetarian's diet. That's not what he was doing. I am going to continue to stand by faith, believing that God's going to provide for me without partaking of that which is tainted, that which is unholy and ungodly. It goes further even in the sixth chapter then of Daniel, when the edict was issued that you cannot pray to anybody but to the king for at least 30 days. Daniel said, in essence, I'm going to risk my life in the hands of God. He continued to pray 3 times a day as he had normally. And as a result of that, you know the rest of the story. He was thrown in the lion's den, and he slept like a baby. He had a lion for his pillow, a lion for his footstool, and because he trusted God and obeyed God, he was refusing to bow, to bend to what government edicts would say, because he was going to obey God rather than man. And so that's a good principle and a good ideal for us to recognize, and we need to be in the Word, to recognize when there is something that's illicit, ungodly, unbiblical, and unholy, where we need to take a stand by faith rather than fearing. And out of fear, human beings have historically, as a result of fear, will be panic-stricken and will be willing to subject themselves to any edict, any rule or regulation in order to have what they view as a little modicum of safety. So you're exactly right, and I'm so thankful for your input and for your call today, and we appreciate you and pray that the Lord will give you wisdom as you continue to serve Him. Thank you so much. Greg, I'm looking at what we're talking about today, and that is the limits of government, God and government. And here's an article that says, order revoked for the rest of infected residents who refuse to isolate. It is Dateline 2017, April the 27th, 2017, a judge's order allowing law enforcement officials in Michigan County to detain anyone suspected of being infected with COVID-19 who refuses to isolate has been revoked. WellNet Daily previously reported that Judge Mark Tuscock of the 17th Circuit Court issued the order in response to a request from Kent County health officials. The order includes a blank line for the names of anyone arrested to be filled out later in the Great Lakes Justice Center, which called the order unconstitutional. Greg, it was literally where they had printed forms, left the name blank, that police officers could go out, and if anybody they found that were suspected of being infected with the coronavirus could be issued a violation warrant.
Back up here. So they're sending non-medical professionals into the street to make a medical call on somebody, insert their name, and all of a sudden they're tantamount to being under arrest?
Yes.
They're going to detain that
person? That's what they were doing, and that is the point that I'm wanting our listeners to understand. There have been rules and regulations and guidelines that have been promulgated by mayors and health agencies and governors across America that one by one they're being discovered to be unethical, ungodly, unholy, illegal, and ought not to be enforced.
I'd love to see a police officer actually try to articulate the probable cause there. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's sad, though, because many of these police officers, they are taking orders. They're taking orders. They're taking orders from their command structure, their sergeants, lieutenants, captains, and chiefs. And many of those sergeants, lieutenants, captains, and chiefs, these aren't constitutional experts. These aren't lawyers. These aren't judges. These folks do not have authority that is superior to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. But they're literally seizing that authority. And if you don't know your rights, guess what? You don't have any rights.
Well, one of the things that we see taking place, you're familiar with the Nuremberg trials and all of those that were being tried for carrying out unholy, dastardly deeds under the leadership of Hitler. All of them used the excuse, well, I was just following orders.
Just following orders.
Just following orders.
Just following orders. And I almost wanted to say, you know, show me your papers. Show me your papers, you know, because in that time in Germany, it's show me your paper. You have to have documents to come and go. And by the way, it seems like that totalitarian view exists amongst progressives, liberal, leftist, socialists today. I think they're in love with totalitarianism. As much as they want to point the finger at Christians, at conservatives, at Republicans, and say, you folks are totalitarians over there, the reality is I think they're in love with totalitarianism.
They
want to control every nuance of your life while they claim to be just
they
the
are.
Opposite.
In fact, we're watching the tectonic shift from a constitutional republic and a capitalistic system to the standing up of what I've said for years is a shadow government. That shadow government happens to be a socialistic one-world order that we see taking place. But one of the things that I have found in my study and research and review of all that we're seeing with the coronavirus and what's happening is that we've set up, as a result of the pandemic, panic and hysteria and fear that permeates all of America today. And I believe we're witnessing the very serious overreach by local, state, federal government in America. We see the mayors and the governors and the those that are wannabe tyrants flexing what I call their perceived powers and authority, and they're doing an overreach. It is simply unconstitutional, and we could go on and on and on about those orders and some of them, but I want us to just think about some of those orders that have been handed down and what has taken place. The closing of churches, the order of complete lockdown of our states, the order of stay at home or be ticketed or fined, the fines that even put in jail 30, 60, 90 days if you're out of your own home. Making illegal for everyone anyone to park in a parking lot of a church and have what they call drive-in worship service. We're talking about the order requiring everyone wear a mask in Laredo, Texas, or $1,000 fine or 90 days in jail. We're talking about government restriction of businesses to open, and even now, some of them are saying there needs to be some type of identifier, armband, so that it'll show that you're free of the virus before you can even go in and shop. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back to complete Let's Face the Issues.
In Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.